Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show that we got lined up for everybody. For those of you who this is your first time listening, Before You Go Pro is a company that focuses on teaching young football players between the ages of 13 through 19 about the mental, moral, and academic aspects of the game. We go into the locker room every Tuesday and Thursday night with the intention of growing kids, young football players on and off the field, and tonight is no exception. We have a fabulous guest with us, and this is somebody that is a former teammate of mine, somebody that I look at as a brother of mine, somebody that kind of helped bring me along in the game of football, especially when I was at the University of Colorado, and I think he's already on the line with us. Rashidi, you with us tonight?
I am, Terrence. How you doing?
Good, good. So definitely pumped up to have you, man. The kids and the parents are excited to hear from you. I was just letting them know that you're somebody that I look at as a little bit of an older brother, somebody that helped bring me along in the ranks and has a great testimony to share tonight. So we've got about 40 minutes for the show, and I know you're a busy man in the corporate world, so we're going to get straight into it so the kids can get a lot out of it. But we really appreciate your time tonight.
No problem. I'm actually looking forward to it. Anytime that I can spend helping people like yourself and the young up-and-coming group, I'm willing to do it.
We appreciate it, man. And once again, the kids are excited. So let's get into it, man. For those that don't know you, Bay Area native out of Berkeley, California, and talk to us a little bit about how you came up. Were you somebody that played Little League football, or did you start playing football in high school?
I actually started playing basketball, and it's ironic that I was on the basketball court when I learned about the opportunity to play football for what we used to call the Berkeley Cougars here in Berkeley, California. A group of friends, they were people I had grew up with, and they were on the basketball court. We played a lot together, and then they went out for a football team. And my family predominantly was a track and a basketball family, so I had never thought about playing football. And one of the guys said, you know what, why don't you come out and play? And probably when I was going into seventh grade, and from there, the story continued, and I was able to take what I learned at that early age and through high school and college to the professional level.
So you did play Little League, but a little bit of a late bloomer, late starter in Little League.
I was a late bloomer. I had a lot of guys that had already been playing that knew what position to play. I mean, when I came in in Little League, in Pop Warner, I was one of the taller kids. And so they put me at offensive tackle and defensive line. And that eventually progressed to, a linebacker and then eventually safety in the college and professional ranks.
Okay. So once you got a hit to the game and you started feeling out how to play and getting used to how everything works, you took your game to the high school level. And what high school did you choose to go to?
I went to Berkeley High. It was no question that I wasn't the high school that I was going to go to. Everyone growing up in Berkeley, coming through all the doing all the basketball and baseball leagues in Berkeley. My family is all from Berkeley. Uncles and aunts, they're all from Berkeley. So it was no question that I was going to go to Berkeley High. And they had all went to Berkeley High. It was kind of like a legacy for my family. So when I got the opportunity to go to Berkeley High, I looked forward to it.
Definitely. And did you continue to play other sports once you got to high school, or did you start to really concentrate on football?
Well, when I played a little baseball and before I got to high school, and then that kind of faded out, and I played a lot of basketball. That was really what, and I tell people to this day, if you were to ask my mom back then if I was to make it professionally, what sport, and if it was to be a sport, what would it be? She would always have said basketball. But, yeah, once I got to high school, continued to play basketball, played football, ran track, and, of course, spent a lot of time in the books. That was the biggest push. I mean, academically, my push, my mother's push, my family's push was no matter what, you know, if sports, if you never make it in sports, you have to get to college, and you're going to do it through your academics.
So you grew up in a family that preached academics, and did they talk to you about college at a young age?
We talked about college, but one of the blessings was here living in Berkeley. You know, you have Stanford not too far. You have Cal's campus right in Berkeley. And so in being in sports, I was always exposed to those different campuses through sports and programs like UCO Mesa and things like that were more academic-based. So because my mom was a single parent raising three kids, she tried to do the best that she could. And one of the things that she ended up doing was putting me in as many sports programs or academic programs possible so that, you know, so she could be working, that she knows where I'm at, and that she doesn't have to worry about me. So a lot of programs I attended were at Cal. So by the time I got to college, I was so accustomed to being on a collegiate or a college in a college arena that it was like second nature to me. So it was just an easy transition for me to go from Berkeley to Colorado.
Wow, that's a fabulous point. So your mom was already planting those seeds and getting you in that environment where, like you said, it was going to be second nature to you once you finally achieved it yourself.
Yeah, you know, one of the things to her credit is that, you know, she, like I said, exposed me and sometimes even overly exposed me to the university. And unfortunately, some of the guys that I went to college with had never left their city or had never been onto a college campus. So it was so foreign to them that once they got onto the college campus, they didn't know. They might have struggled in school. They might have struggled socially. They might have struggled on the football field. Just because they had not, unfortunately, had that background, had been given those tools or had been exposed like I was coming up.
Great point. So you're doing your thing at Berkeley High School, and for those who don't know, Rashidi, we've got kids that listen from all over the country, so some of the kids may not be familiar with Berkeley High, but Berkeley High is a school that has produced a lot of great players in all different sports, but especially football. Did you feel like you belonged when you started playing sports at Berkeley High?
I felt like I belonged because Berkeley is such a small, tight-knit community that, like I said before, the kids that I grew up with playing different sports with, they all went to Berkeley High. Kids from Oakland all wanted to go to Berkeley High. So if you were the best academically or in sports, you typically went to Berkeley High because Berkeley High was one of the better, if not the best, public school in the Bay Area. So When it came to sports, yeah, I felt it was natural to me just because I had already played with these guys for so many years and been around the coaches. My Pop Warner coach ended up coming up to Berkeley High and being one of the football coaches. The basketball coach at Berkeley High when I was a freshman, he was my PE teacher in junior high. So I had already been exposed to these coaches and team and future teammates just from growing up in the Berkeley area.
Great. So you're playing at Berkeley High, and obviously, like you said, you're a multi-sport star. What was it that made you start to turn your attention to football? Was it a particular play, or was there a game or something, or somebody kind of tapping you on the shoulder and saying, this may be your niche?
Well, to be honest with you, I never really focused on football like that. I enjoyed playing football and I enjoyed playing basketball, but I go back to the point that I made earlier. It was the academics. It was my focus on trying to get to college because I knew my mom didn't have the funds to put me into a major university. So and she was, like I said, a single parent raising three kids, and I'm the oldest. So my focus was academically, what can I do? And everything that I did on the field was secondary. So to answer your question, when the college coaches started recruiting me when I was a junior, and I got this this unbelievable feeling that I can actually go to college for free and just to play football, that's really what kind of triggered it for me.
Gotcha, 100%. Do you feel like the other players that were around you at Berkeley High, Rashidi, do you feel that they picked up on the academic portion of student-athlete like you did, or were some of those guys a little bit further behind as far as that goes?
Definitely some of those guys were further behind. And unfortunately, those guys are the guys that I still see in the streets today. If I'm in Berkeley and, driving down the street, I had the same guys that didn't focus on school and might have focused, put more energy and effort into football or sports. If that didn't come through and that fell short, they didn't know what to do. I've always told people that, when I got to college, I was around people that were number one in this, number two in this, the best defensive tackle out of this state, or the number one wide receiver in the country. I was around those people. But when those people were not able to produce on the field, they had nothing else to fall back on because they weren't focused on their academics. And when your community, your family, or what have you, puts you on this pedestal and they don't and you fall, those are the first people that are, they're tearing you down because they're like, why are you here? We expected you to be in the NFL playing on Sunday. And I never had to go through that because my focus was academics. And, at some point in time I realized that I was going to get to college if it was going to be on a football scholarship or through my academics.
Great point. And for those that don't know about Berkeley High School, you actually had a pretty influential coach that was coaching you, Coach Tui Asosopo. Can you talk to us a little bit about him and the influence he had on you and the other players up at Berkeley High School?
I think the biggest thing about Mike Tui Asosopo was that he was so passionate about football. But he was also passionate about just trying to help young men become men. And he led by example, through example, I should say. He was a former, he played a little college football, in Stockton, California, at Pacific University, and then came to coach at Berkeley High. And this is a program, although we have a ton of players who came out and on my team alone, we have four players that ended up playing in the NFL, but that's unheard of. But he came to a school where our field had potholes in it. We didn't have any lights. If we were going to play a game, it would be like on a Saturday morning or Friday right after school. We had one year we traveled to every home game we had to play away. So it was just because our field was in such disarray. But this guy comes to Berkeley High, and he instills in us not only the love of the game, but also how to be good men and products, or I should say, great men in your community. So he eventually went on to coach at the University of Arizona, defensive line, and then went to coach, ended up at the University of Colorado after I had left, and coaching the professional ranks a little bit, and he's still in the college ranks now coaching, and was a great mentor, still a very good friend. He has football in his blood. He grew up in L.A. Tuiasosopo is not a common name, but Marquise Tuiasosopo, who played quarterback at University of Washington, is his one of his nephews, I think, who now is at USC as offensive coordinator or quarterback's coach. So football ran deep in his blood, and he instilled that in us, the passion.
And we just had a show, because what we do with Before You Go Pro, Rashidi, is we have one show on Tuesday night, and that's usually a teaching topic, and then we have a guest on Thursday night, and that's why we're so happy to have you tonight. But on Tuesday night, we talked about never burning bridges with coaches and academic advisors and people of that nature. Could you maybe speak to that for the kids and the parents? Do you feel like that's something that's important, preserving relationships with coaches?
Not only preserving a relationship with coaches, but preserving relationships with influential people. I think the most important thing is that one of the things that I do now is that I try to remember everyone's name, you know, and you know it's a trick to it, but it becomes it helps you in once you get out of football, once you get out of sports, because then you're always able to call back on that person. If you always have a positive attitude and let's say you light up a room, that person most likely will want to help you in your time of need, or it will take that call, or will return that text message, whatever it is.
Yes.
To this day, I probably could. I John Embry, who was the head coach at University of Colorado, who recruited me at University of Colorado and is now at the Cleveland Browns, I could text him today and say, hey, how you doing? And he'll return a text. It's not a lot of people that have those relationships that they've cultivated for 20-plus years because they don't work at the relationships, and that's the key. You have to cultivate the relationship. You have to maintain a relationship, even if it's a Merry Christmas text once a year. As long as you're telling or showing that person that they're on your mind, they will respond to you and be there in your corner at the end of the day.
Is that something that came natural to you, Rashidi, or was somebody kind of already telling you, hey, make sure that you stay in good grace with people?
I actually think that it came after football. I think that I was always – I never really tried to rub anybody the wrong way. That was just through my upbringing. But I really got a good understanding of it once I football was done and I moved into the real world, into the sales area arena. And as a salesperson, you know, you're not selling your product, you're selling yourself. But one of the things I was able to do was correlate football and what I had went through to sales. People tend to forget, and this might just be an odd way of thinking about it, but as a football player, you're always selling yourself to not only the next coach, to not only the next team, but you're selling yourself also to the fans. So you are a product, and people have to understand that you are a commodity. So you have to do the things to always sell yourself or to get to that next level. And so when I was able to make the transition over to the real world, into the business world, the business sector, it was natural for me because I realized I've already been selling myself for so long. You sell yourself in Pop Warner to get to the best high school. You want that coach, whoever that coach is, to see you and say, hey, kid, I want you to come to my high school. You sell yourself in high school to get to the college, collegiate level. So it's a gradual step, but you're constantly doing it and you're constantly improving on how you are selling yourself.
I love it, love it. So you're at Berkeley High School, and obviously, like you said, you're amongst other great players that are getting college attention, and schools start calling Rashidi Barnes' house and trying to talk to your mom. What schools were recruiting you when you were coming out of Berkeley High School?
Coming out of Berkeley High School, I had as far east as Miami, majority of the Texas schools, all the Pac-10 schools, Hawaii, Colorado, of course, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, had a few letters from Florida, but, you know, one of the things that, because my mom was a single parent, I did not want to go too far away from home, but I didn't want to be in Berkeley. But also I wanted to be far enough where if she needed to get to me that she can be, you know, or I can get to her within a 2-hour flight. So that's one of the reasons why I chose Colorado. You know, but I didn't want to go to Berkeley. Although I got a scholarship offer to go to Cal Berkeley, I couldn't stay home. I didn't want to end up in living in my mom's basement and coming home to my mom every day. I wanted to grow. And I think that that's very important for any collegiate athlete, man or female. You need to grow and get out outside of that comfort zone because you're never going to know what you're going to be able to accomplish until you experience it. And if you have that crutch, as might be your parents or your guardians or what have you, you're not going to be able to fully grow, especially during those formative years in college.
When you got a chance to visit the University of Colorado, was it something that you knew right away in your heart that that was the place for you, or did it take you a little bit of time to kind of mull over that decision?
I committed to 3 different schools. I told Cal that I was coming to Cal. I told Colorado that I was coming to Colorado. I told Washington State that I was going there, and I would have took the 2 other trips that I had planned if I was smart. But once I decommitted, I should say, to the other 2 schools and chose Colorado, one of the reasons why I chose Colorado is because academically I knew it was one of the better schools. I didn't want to stay in Berkeley. And then also football-wise, at the time, Colorado was one of the top premier universities and sports programs in the nation. And not to mention that I had also 2 other guys from my high school that had graduated the year before that were also at Colorado. And another guy that I graduated with from Berkeley High who also went to Colorado. So within 2 years' time, we had 4 guys that went to Colorado. It was a interesting pipeline, to say the least.
Yes, and once again, amazing talent coming out of Berkeley High at that time. My high school actually got killed my sophomore year by you guys, so I was fully aware of the talent that was up at Berkeley High. And being a San Francisco kid myself, you know, you pay attention to the talented people in the Bay Area and you want to eventually play with them. So I was fully aware of the pipeline from Berkeley to Colorado. Talk to us a little bit about once you finally arrived up at CU, when you got there and, you know, the kids don't understand that it was a totally different program at that time. You know, at that time we were national championship contenders and they've had some down seasons recently. But talk to me, Rashidi, about once you finally got up to CU, did you feel like you were ready to play at the college level?
I didn't know what to expect once I got on the college level in terms of playing ball. Only thing I knew was that I was coming in early. I graduated when I was 17. And so when I turned 18 in June, late June, four or five days later, I was already on a plane to Colorado. And I was fortunate enough, like I said before, because I had two guys already at Colorado that were I played with and grew up with, and they were there the year before. So I was fortunate enough I had somewhere to stay. I got to Colorado, and just I was focusing on working out and just getting out there and getting acclimated to the environment. So I went through summer, you know, the rest of June and July, so a few weeks before we started camp in August. And by the time we started camp in August, I think that actually being in Colorado and being acclimated actually helped me. I think coming in, we might have had 22, 23 freshmen. And, you know, I don't know if you already talked about this, but you kids go, when they become freshmen and they go into school, you go through freshman camp. And I just remember they gave me a helmet, gave me a jersey, put my last name on the front of my helmet, and just said, go ahead, and they ran everyone through the same drills. So they run everyone through the same drills because they don't know really if although you play DB in high school, maybe you're a running back, maybe you're a wide receiver. Maybe you might be an offensive lineman, maybe you might become a defensive lineman. So you're all running through the same drills. And they're sitting there evaluating each player. And somehow, some way, out of 23 players, and believe me, I was not the number one out of California. I was not the number one in my area at my position. I maybe was top 10, if that, at my position in my area. And as everyone knows, California produces on an annual basis a ton of incredible talent. So once I got to Colorado, a nationally ranked program, and they chose me to play my true freshman year, I was just like, really? Okay, well, let's play. And that kind of just propelled me to the next level.
So once you got there, what do you think it was that the coaching staff saw in you that said, hey, this kid is ready to play? What do you think it was that got you on the field early?
I think it goes back, once again, I keep harping on it, to just academically, I was strong enough to be able to handle the workload that the university program was going to require of me. And then because I was, quote-unquote, smart enough, they felt like it would be a natural fit for me and easy for me to make that transition because I could understand the new terminology, I could understand the plays, and I was, I guess, physically fit enough to be able to play on that level, you know, and not have to redshirt.
Did you feel like there were any major adjustments you needed to make, whether athletically or academically?
Academically, yes, definitely. I went in with high hopes to come out with a degree in marine biology, but I quickly realized how difficult it is to manage a degree like that and play football. Essentially, you have two jobs. You know, you have to produce on the field and you have to produce in the classroom. They go hand in hand. One of the things that I had to refocus on was just academically and managing time. I had to become a student of time management because on the football field, they require you to be there from, you know, 7 o'clock through working out and practices and other things, watching film, you know, till 7 at night. And then you're expected to go home. And like I said, in between there, you're going to classes. But now you go home and you're physically tired, but mentally you can't be, because now you have to prepare for the next tomorrow's duties with regards to academics.
So it's a step up in both arenas. It's a step up as far as competition on the field, but it's also a step up as far as what you have to do to maintain a good academic standing.
Yeah, because if you don't maintain a good academic standing, then there is no football. I mean, it's that simple. So you have to learn how to manage your time, and you have to focus, put as much effort into the academics as you do into sports. And especially if you go in as like I did and play as a true freshman, now, you know, you can be there for 5 years, but do you really want to be there for 5 years? So academically, that was another pressure that I probably put on myself, was that, okay, if I'm going to play as a freshman, once I'm done with football, I need to be done with school also. I didn't want to stick around for that fifth year, which meant that I had not focused on my academics.
Do you feel like social life and how you conduct yourself off the field plays into guys' success in the classroom and on the field?
I could not be a student athlete right now. With Twitter, with Facebook, with Instagram, all that social media, that is going to become the demise of a lot of student athletes, because you have to understand that you now represent not only your family and your community, but you also represent a team and a university. So the things that you put out there on social media, it's schools, chancellors, presidents, coaches are not going to they're not going to keep you on the team. And you don't want to be that person to get sent back home because you put something egregious on, tweeted something egregious, or put a picture on to Facebook or whatever it is. You don't want to be that kid. So because these kids are growing up, and this social media is like second nature to them, they think it's okay. But there's going to be so many kids that are going to lose scholarships, lose money, lose the potential, their chances to move on to the next level if that's something they want to do, or even lose the opportunity to get a free education. There's so many kids that are going to lose that because of they can't control their urges, their this of social media.
Would you happen to have any recommendations for any young athletes today to stay out of trouble with that?
You have to put it aside. You have to, like I said, focus on academics and focus on sports if you're able to do that, if you're able to make it to the collegiate level on a scholarship. Or even if you're a walk-on, you have to put in more time. But you have to focus on both of those and leave, to me, in my humble opinion, leave the social media stuff alone, because it's going to get people caught up. And like I said, don't be that person that gets caught up with that.
I agree. And that is part of the Before You Go Pro mission, is talking about those type of things. I think if they're not talked about and get swept under the rug, then you leave yourself open for having issues with that type of thing. So I appreciate you bringing that up. When we were at the University of Colorado, and I was, a year behind you and even further behind once I redshirted, but we went through a coaching change with Coach Neuheisel, Rick Neuheisel, and then we got Gary Barnett. A lot of guys at the time, especially some of the younger players, were considering leaving, and I'll never forget how you – had the older guys and you being one of the main guys said that we were going to stick together as brothers and see this thing through. And you really took a leadership role. Was that something that was instilled in you, or did that just come natural? Do you think leaders are born or are groomed to a certain point?
That's always a big debate on whether a leader comes natural, or can you make a leader. And I think that leaders are born naturally, but it takes something, a trigger, to bring that leader out of that person. So it might be you know, it might be brought out of you through teachings, or it might be brought out of you through something. But for me, in that particular situation, I think just being coming in as a freshman, playing and having the experience I had not only on the field but in the classroom, I took it upon myself to, you know, let the younger guys, yourself included, to know that we're going to do this, you know, no matter what coach is with us. We had, I think that was a year we had just went to the Aloha Bowl. It was my junior year.
Yes.
And I was coming off of a pretty severe injury. And so I wasn't going to allow that to derail the team, because I knew the potential that we had. I knew where we came from. I was on a team my freshman year that we were 10-2. We ended up top 10 in the nation. We had the Buckus Award winner. We had the number two top 10 draft picks, or three of the top 15 draft picks. And, I mean, that's what I came from. So I knew the success. And we had the potential on our team. But with the coaching change, even myself, it really hurt. But as a group, as a unit, as people that have, we had all grown up together, spent 4 years of our lives together, we weren't going to allow for the coaching change to affect us on the field.
And you ended up keeping us together, and you and some of the other players helped rally our team, and we had a year that maybe was a little bit of an underachieving year in 99, but still a bowl game and a decent year. And you went on to all Big 12 honors and an NFL draft pick selection by the Cleveland Browns. Talk to me a little bit about that, Rashidi. Were you expecting to go to Cleveland?
I was, once again, I wasn't expecting to get drafted. Like I said, when coming out of going into college, mentally I said, okay, well, if you guys want to pay me to play football professionally, then I might as well do it. My focus in college was not to make it to the professional ranks. My mom, once again, she didn't quote-unquote breed me to become a professional athlete. It wasn't instilled in me. What was instilled in me was the academic piece. And so when I was able to graduate in 4 years and play football in 4 years, to me, the biggest accomplishment at that time in my life was graduating in 4 years. It wasn't getting drafted. It wasn't seeing my name go across the ticker at the bottom of the screen. So mentally, if you understand that, because football is going to end, any sport you're playing is going to end at some point in time. There's only so many Jerry Rices in the world. There's only so many Tony Gonzalez's in the world. But for the average player, I mean, 3.5 years, that's what is expected of you. That's what they're going to get out of you. So I was not focused on the professional ranks. Yes, I went to the combine, but I wasn't chasing the dream. And so it wasn't a letdown for me when I wasn't drafted the first day. When I was drafted, matter of fact, I was in the gym playing basketball. Going back to my roots, I was playing basketball with a bunch of buddies of mine, and I got the call from my mom, and she said, hey, all these coaches are calling you. I just saw your name going across the bottom of the screen, and you're not here. So she was upset at me for not being there. But so I said, Mom, don't worry about it. I'll be fine. And sure enough, maybe 5 minutes later, I got the call from the Browns and Coach Palmer, and they told me that they had just drafted me. So my buddies knew, and, you know, we kind of all, you know, it was fun to be around them. But like I said, it wasn't my focus. It wasn't my life.
And Rashidi is not lying by any means. You know, being a player that played with Rashidi in college, you always knew that this was somebody that had bigger things written all over him outside of football. This was somebody that was not defined by his football career. Even though he was a hell of a player, you could tell that Rashidi was going to be all right without a ball in his hands. And I always admired that about you, man. So kudos to you. So you get drafted by the Browns, and you end up going to training camp. And what was the biggest thing that was the difference between the college game and the NFL game?
The biggest thing was, which I didn't grasp early, was the amount of time that I needed to spend in the film room. If we're just talking about the game itself, as a professional, you have to understand you're coming in at age, whatever, 21, 22, what have you, and you're playing against people that have been in the league potentially 10, 15 years. So they've seen everything. And quarterbacks, so we're talking about Peyton Manning right now. You know, he's going into the championship. He's seen everything. So as a young guy, if I was going against Peyton Manning today, I would need to study him, so much film on him, just to get 1 ounce or just to get 1 ounce of a potential something, a key on him. Because he's seen so many things that if I don't watch the film, I'm going to be a step behind. I'm going to be a step behind that receiver. He knows where I'm going to end up before I even get there because he's been in the league for so long. So as a rookie coming in, I didn't understand how much film I needed to watch because I was playing against people that had been in the league for so long. When you're in college, you're playing, the door is always open. People are only there for 4 years, maybe 5 years at the max. But when in the NFL, you're playing against people that have been there 10, 15 years. And you have to understand that. The first time I lined up against Jerry Rice when he was with the Raiders, I was mentally, I said, oh, whoa, this is Jerry Rice. But you can't do that. Once you get the experience, you're not worried about who you're lining up against. It's just another number. But because when coming in as a rookie and not having the experience and not watching film, it hurt me.
Definitely. So, do you think that's why most guys, why that number is so short, 3 years or 3.5 years, if the guys haven't adjusted to the amount of mental work that goes into being a pro?
Definitely that. And then I would say the other factor is the money, the fast money, the quick, easy money. People get so caught up in the access that the financial side of it, that they don't spend the time that they need to in the classroom. And when I say classroom on a professional level, I mean studying film. They don't spend that extra time in the classroom because they want to get out and go to the bar or go to a restaurant or whatever it is. Their social life becomes a larger part of their life. When in college, it was academics and football. Now, once you're on a professional level, it's football and your social life, when it should be football and studying football. You know, yes, you're going to have such a social life, but you got to keep that to a minimum if you want to excel and be successful on the field and have a prolonged career. That's the key. Everyone wants to be in the NFL, and everyone wants to have a prolonged career. But NFL stands for not for long. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. You're not going to be in the NFL for life. So with that said, you have to take advantage of the time that you have and spend that extra time in the film room, studying, learning the tendencies of the opposing quarterbacks, wide receivers, or whatever you're going against, defensive line, offensive line. And so that when you're able to get on the field, it's second nature to you, and now you might not have the quote-unquote field experience, but you have the film experience, and so you're not caught off guard when things happen so fast on the field.
Well, man, you did fabulous tonight. I totally appreciate you coming into the locker room and sharing your testimony with these young kids. There's so much that we didn't get to that we definitely want to bring you back on in the near future. And we just really appreciate the time, Rashidi. And keep up the great work, man. I know you're doing great in the corporate world, so keep winning out there, okay, buddy?
Thank you, Terrence. And anytime, I mean, you know, you can call me, and I'm here for you. And you're doing a great thing. You keep up the great work. And if I can support you, just let me know.
All right, man. Well, much love, and we'll talk to you later. Rashidi, we'll definitely have you on soon. We appreciate you, man.
All right, thank you.
So that was Rashidi Barnes, and hopefully you young players got a lot out of that tonight. We will be back next week on Tuesday with another teaching topic. Check out everything on www.beforeyougopro.com. Also, check out a good friend's Kickstarter program. You go to kickstarter.com and check out Born to Lead. It's a great show for you guys to check out there. So we love you, and we'll see you at the top.